Bonsoir, la société. Today, we're doing a podcast called Hey, Mambo G. She gave us this topic, so I want to give credit there. We're doing a podcast called Breaking Generational Karma in Relationships. I really think this is a really big, important topic. And it's me, Ali Al, Mambo G, and Care Bear here. And we're here. And you're going to subscribe on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. And you can donate help at mysticalwork.com via PayPal or Cash App, $ Hector Salva. Before we get into the topic, I've gotten a whole bunch of donations from people towards the temple. And I really want to thank you for that. I appreciate the temple appreciates everything that you've sent over, that you've donated, and that you've given to us. We are really excited because, like, we're going to do a whole big temple event where we're going to fix this place up and we're going to show you what we've been doing with ourselves. Oh, wow. So I'm going to leave it with these guys to start that off. So I can get some ice.
So you, Mambo G, you came up with this topic, but I was going to ask, what would you consider like a generational curse in a relationship? Hold on. Carrie's pointing her finger.
I've got a great example.
What is like a generational curse?
I don't know of a single woman on either side of my family that did not marry an abusive twat. Like, not grandparents, like great-grandparents, aunts. Like, I don't know of a single woman in my entire family on both sides who did not marry a man that likes to get punchy.
So that would be what is considered, like, a generational pattern.
I actually think it's karmic because I have a particularly nasty family history over the last about 200 years. So I actually consider that to be karmic, but I think that's a good example.
Yeah, and I think it'd be like a good thing to like check in on, like to see exactly what it is.
Right.
But
yeah, to see like could it be, yeah, versus like, is this like a mental thing or is it like, is it a generational karmic?
Exactly. Yeah.
Pop's coming in. He got his ice. I was gonna ask him,
what is a generational curse pattern, and how does it refer like karmically too? Because we've talked about karma before. Because some people have a different definition of karma than.
So I would say there's a difference between a generational curse and generational patterns, which are karmic. Generational patterns happen to be given from one generation to the other, meaning you follow the same patterns of relationships that your mother had or your father had. You were taught a generational curse. It brings to mind someone that I know in their family line. Basically, like, women, the marriages of women never last. They always get divorces and left for other women. And that's happened for like generations, even before their great grandmother. So that's kind of where I would say it's somewhat different.
So I gave the example that I don't know of a single woman on either side of like my mother or my father's side of the family that didn't end up marrying somebody that gets punchy whenever they get upset.
Punchy.
Like, seriously, not fruit punch, no. I don't have a single aunt. I don't have a single cousin. I don't have a single grandparent or parent or, you know, anybody in the family that has not married somebody that does not use their fists whenever they're upset.
So I'm thinking of just, like, things that maybe, like, someone's parents didn't go through or like heal themselves, that maybe they like pass down. So like if someone wasn't able to make it through like a post-traumatic stress or like maybe they didn't have like coping mechanisms to deal with like a big life event when someone was like a child. Like all those little things get kind of like ingrained or like passed down. So then when someone tries to have a relationship, then they're dealing with that same, like, oh, my mom did it this way, and that maybe wasn't like the healthiest, but like I was around that, and so they end up like that. Exactly. And then I think a lot of times in like for some spiritual people, they're like considered the so-called black sheep of the family, that they'll be like the cycle breaker, and they're like, well, this wasn't right, and so like, you know, I have to leave or do it different. And I think some people find their path like that, but then yeah, there's that process of you have to go through your own healing, or like you're still dealing with that stuff that maybe your parents showed you that wasn't the best or healthiest. And so exactly, you have to face it at some point.
How do you know? I would think like through your spiritual teacher, this like you, because we were talking about that earlier, getting clarification, like between it being like it's a curse. Like, and what is it, like, a curse? Like, is that someone who, like, had abilities, like, put something on the family or, like that? And then how do you just tell if it's, like, oh, it's just, like, people just keep, you know, keeping up the same pattern karmically, like, and I can see I have this little window I can break out of?
So I would say a curse doesn't require you to be taught that way of dealing with things. It just happens that way, even if you were taught the opposite. Whereas a karma or a pattern, you've been taught the pattern by someone before you who was taught the pattern. So you can trace a pattern as far as like what has been done.
Yeah.
A curse happens whether anything was done or not done, whether you did things right or wrong. Either way, you ended up within the same scenario.
On the same note, they also often get early onset dementia and try to kill family members.
In the curse situation.
No, I mean in my mother's family, but oh. Like that's really not uncommon. And one of the reasons I'm here and continue to stay here and do whatever I can is because I'm not really trying to live that pattern.
You're not a fan of dementia, huh?
No, especially not the kind where you lock everybody in their room and set the house on fire.
I understand. I understand why you would not be a fan. I think that a big part is, first off, I think that we all carry generational karmas. Because karmas refer to patterns. So it's normal. We're going to pick up on karmas or patterns because patterns are what we're taught. And I don't think that that's kind of really avoidable, simply because a child learns from who he or she is around. And so you're going to pick up, like, this is the way that my mother acted when this happened. This is the way my father reacted when this happened, etc., etc. I think that when it comes to generational stuff like this, a lot of it is what we've learned and how we go forward. Now, in the case of like what Care Bear's talking about right here, this definitely seems like a generational curse. Okay? Because like all of you are picking different men from different spaces, and you end up with the same shit. So that's really different than if most people, they don't realize it, but the same type of person that your mother dated will be the same type of person you date. The same type of person that your father dated is the type of person that you will date. But that's really different if like you're taking people from very different spaces, very different backgrounds, and you keep on getting the same result.
I view a lot of what we're doing here in terms of spiritual work as a kind of a breaking of a generational curse, at least on my part. Because if I can not have that pattern, if I cannot perpetuate that pattern, if I cannot teach that pattern, if I cannot live in that pattern, the odds are better, in my opinion, that it doesn't keep happening. So somebody has to go out there and do a whole bunch of personal work and spiritual work and all the rest of that for everybody else's sake. And I've actually done quite a bit of work with my ancestors on this particular topic.
So what I wanted to mention on what Care just said was the work with the ancestors. A lot of people, when they think of ancestral work, they're thinking of magical work. They're thinking of like, let me get a job, let me get this, let me get that. I need advice, okay? But in our tradition, when we do ancestral work, it's really about healing the wounds of the ancestors that have gotten passed down to you. It's a very different situation than looking at just like getting a job. Ancestors, a lot of them have a lot of wounding that they never dealt with. And when it comes upon you, you start to think that the way that you're dealing with things is normal, because it is normal for you, because that's what you have seen around you as like a normal experience. That's what you saw everybody doing. Whereas most of the time, as far as it can be totally normal. Normal does not mean sane. Very different. Most people think normal means sane. Normal actually usually means insanity. That's why it's also normal for people to be anxious, suicidal, depressed, irritated, ungrateful. All of that is normal. All of that is part of insanity. So when it comes to breaking generational curses, it really kind of gets back down into some of that personal work we always discuss about breaking some of those programs and teachings that have been passed down to you by your own parents and by the way that you live. So I'm thinking of someone right now who always told me, like, basically, like, her grandmother always told her she better know how to cook, because if she don't know how to cook, then she won't keep her man. And then, like, her grandmother was a great cook, but her man still cheated on her. And however, like, this person continues to take that whole teaching, which is like a karma, from their grandmother, like, I better know how to cook because that means keeping my man. When it doesn't work out, she becomes really heartbroken time and time again, over and over and over again. And this is the beauty of humans, is that you will live 1,000 incarnations doing the same fucking stupid shit and never get anywhere. Because you'll do the same thing over and over, and next life you'll do it again and again and again. Which just brings me to like another person that I know, right? Where like their whole teaching or the way that they be is that once they get in relationship, that's all that exists for them. So everything else is no longer significant or important but that relationship. And time and time again, they've done this and they've ended up fucked. And guess what? They're doing it right now. And in 6 months from now, it once that relationship ends or ends up fucked, they'll do it again. This is like the lifestyle of humans. The lifestyle of people is like, you get angry because Joey cussed you out. Now you calm down. Tomorrow, Joey cusses you out again. Now you're angry again. call Joey your master, because that's who controls you. And over and over and over again, this gets done. This is actually part of the reason why many spiritual teachers end up going silent. Because, like, it's the equivalent to talking to walls.
So, to get people to notice that, like, are we talking about epiphany here? Do you, because if you've got somebody stuck in a cycle and they're doing the same stupid shit over and over and over, a whole lifetime full of the same stupid shit, and can do it over multiple lifetimes, are we just, like, we're talking they need an epiphany? Or, like, what shakes people loose there?
Yeah. So, what people tend to have is epiphanies, and they mistake epiphanies for realizations. Epiphany is like, aha, I suddenly became aware of this. It's almost the equivalent of the sunlight shining through the clouds, but then the clouds keep on blowing by and cover the sunlight again. And so then they end up back in the same situation. Most people have epiphanies all the time, and 90% of those epiphanies end up pointless and down the drain. An epiphany is just like the beginning spark. In order to take that epiphany and make it real, which makes it a realization, to make it real in this world, you got to take that epiphany and work it and work through that epiphany in order to give it solidity. So it's not just like an empty light in the sky.
So I think too, we're back in the need a teacher moment for this, right? Because it's one thing to say, oh no, you know what, this is awful, I don't want to do this again, and something else to be able to reform your life in such a way as to not do it again.
Absolutely. I think that one of the only ways, really, for most people is you're going to need a teacher. You're going to need to, like, stay on top of the work. You cannot allow any person or sudden relationship to distract you from the work, because more than likely, whoever you meet and get in relationship with has not done the work themselves. So they're going to draw you back into the methodology or the patterns of the world.
So I got a question for you. I know sometimes our ancestors can be kind of wounded for whatever reason, and that can be a part of whatever pattern we're expressing, right? Do you feel like if someone's ancestors did something particularly dark, that would sort of resonate through generationally?
It usually does. Yeah. When people's ancestors do something particularly dark, it usually does either resonate in the way that the descendants continue to live, or the descendants end up dealing with whatever the consequences or the side effects were of that previous ancestor and their behavior.
So I know for me in particular, one of the first things that you told me to do was to light a candle, set some water out, and pray for my ancestors. So I actually did that for years before I got on to anything else. I know that we have to have a teacher to really prescribe the treatment, but I would think that was part of it. And I know I learned during it, a lot of things about my ancestors, but one of them was I learned to see them as people. Like, because I got to know something about their hurt.
Yes. So, like, that's part of the big problem with breaking the generational curses or the generational karma, is that no one ever sees their mother as a woman. Everybody sees their mother as their mother. No one ever sees their father as a man. They see it, that person within the role they play in relation to you. That goes back to the same kind of like negative selfishness and self-centeredness that is kind of like innate in most people. So when they see their mother, right, they don't think like, hey, this lady was like 25 years old and still trying to figure out her life. And when I was 25 years old, I still didn't have that shit figured out. No, they think like my mother was my mother. And so therefore 25 or 50, she should have been like the mother from the Brady Bunch.
So I think one of the things that came up too is that you think of your ancestors as owing you in some ways. So your mother owes you to give you a certain kind of experience. Your ancestors owe you to have made your life better, right, over time. Because that's what I'm air quoting here, supposed to do. We're supposed to make life better for our children. And I think that that's an important impediment to realistically understanding what the heck happened.
I agree. The thing is that people think of like, okay, so the best way to understand this is like, if you don't have children, or think of back in the time before you had children. If you don't have children, it's kind of easier for you, actually. If you don't have children and suddenly you had children today, someone calls you up and it's like, hey, your new baby is born. Okay. Are you going to be the perfect mother or father? If you have children, think of the time before you had children. If somebody had called you at any point, would you have been the perfect mother or father? No. But especially in the cases where you have not had children, in my experience, the level of expectations upon your parents are unrealistic. You couldn't do it. So, like, I'll give you an example. I'm going to pick on you. So, you're 22. Tomorrow, somebody says, hey, your new baby was just born. Tomorrow, are you ready?
No.
Are you ready to provide them with everything? Are you going to go to work and not come back home frustrated because of what happened at work? But when you were a child and your mother came home frustrated from work, were you understanding or a jerk off?
A jerk off.
Pretty much. All children are. So, Oh, here we are. We're back again. So you might have had a little blank there. You're going to go ahead and subscribe. And you can donate to the temple. If we had a little blank there, I guess it wasn't meant for you to hear. Many blessings. Keep the faith. Until next time.